the reports are out about Deshaun Watson. We'll get into this more later in the hour about Watson and the Russell Wilson rumors as well. But Watson, I guess, sat down, had a meeting with the new coach, which must have been so awkward because, you know, the new coach was going in there trying to pitch him on the idea of giving him a chance. And the reports immediately came out that Watson basically gave him the Heisman and said, "You're wasting your time. I don't care who you are. I'm not playing for you guys." So he is adamant he is not going to play in Houston. Meanwhile, the Texans are still adamant they're not going to trade him. And the most recent report is one of the goofiest reports I've ever seen, and I believe it to be true, and I think it's hysterical, that teams are calling Houston, trying to get trade talks going. Their calls are being flushed. The GM will not accept the call, to the point where other teams in the league are leaving voicemails with trade proposals. Like, could you imagine? I can see this happening in the room. I can picture a GM, let's say it's the Jets, calling, goes to voicemail, they hang up and say, "What should we do? Should we call back and just leave the offer on the voicemail?"
What about text message? All the GMs have each other's numbers. Like, I don't understand the motivation of the voicemail.
How stupid would this be? "Hey, it's Ed O'Neill here with the Jets, and I'm thinking Darnold, 2 firsts and a 3rd. You know, call me back." You know, like, it,
dude, I don't know about you two. I haven't checked my voicemail in 20 years.
In forever.
And no one leaves a voicemail either. I don't. I never leave a voicemail.
Nobody does.
Who does? Like, nobody does. Nobody checks it. Nobody leaves it because everybody knows nobody checks it.
I will say one thing that's so effing annoying, excuse me, but when you call somebody and they text you back and they go, "Hey, what's up?" It's like, no.
I've done that. I've done
what?
That many times.
Why?
If I can't answer the phone, let's say I'm laying there with my kid or something, but
dude,
I have access to text.
That's such a crock. That's such a crock.
No, there's totally reasonable explanations for
that. No, there isn't. It's just,
yes, there are.
Let me ask you, have you ever looked at the number and said, I just can't do it right? Because I know you've done it to me because I call
that.
You a lot.
I have done that. Yes, I have. I can't do it. I'm not in the mood for a chat right now, watching a movie or something. But I'm more than willing to text. A 5-minute buffer texting response.
That is, you know
that
what?
Is something I'm willing to do. I'm in the majority here. Dave, you've done that before. Be honest.
You know what, though? No, you know what? If I'm not going to pick up the call, I'm certainly not going to immediately text back and say,
really?
"What's up?"
Okay.
No, because that's not. There's no courtesy there. Like, the guy called me for. If Ed O'Neill calls me, I'm going to damn well pick up the phone.
There's absolutely no courtesy, but that's fine. Here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. You've done that, Ray. You've done it.
What, looked at a call and not picked it up?
And then texted saying, "Hey, what do you want?" Or, "What's up?" Like, I'm not in the mood to talk, but I'll text you back if I can.
I'd say I give it a 30-second buffer.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Just don't have time. Just send me a text, and then I can read it. And
I know, Ray. It's so ignorant, the comeback of, "Hey, what's up?" It really is a slap in the face.
If it's reasonable, like,
you're a piece
of garbage. I'm telling you, I have been laying with my kids. I'm like, I can't pick up the phone, but I will text you. Like, I'm happy to.
Pick the phone up and say, "Hey, I'll call you back in 5 minutes. The hang up, and the worst part is you can tell when. The worst part is you can tell when someone doesn't let it run out. They hang up immediately.
Yep.
Like, you know, it's two rings, and it just goes, "Hey, it's so-and-so." And then it's like, "Hey, what's up?" It's so ignorant. It's the most ignorant thing.
Go ahead, Ray.
Okay, you know what bugs me? Is when I see on my phone that red dot for the message light.
Right.
You know, that somebody's left a voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I wonder who left me a voicemail. Like, maybe it is important. And then I find myself listening to it, and I'm like, why did that person just leave me a voicemail?
Like, what, do you think we're living in the 20th century here? Get with the times.
but it could have come from maybe a number you don't know that somebody has to get a hold of you, like, a doctor's appointment or something or other. So I'm like, oh, I better check it. And then halfway through, I'm like, what the hell am I listening to this message for? The guy probably sent me a text as well, because he knows that he wouldn't listen to the voicemail, so he knows that I'm probably not listening to it either.
Well, I would say that is equally as stupid, if not more stupid, calling someone and then texting saying, "Hey, I just called you. Call me back. I know you called me. We all have the screen that says you called me." You know,
okay,
like, it's
here's
completely
the most
redundant.
Ignorant one. Here's the most ignorant one, and I guarantee you, Hayes, you've done this. The text message, I just saw this. No, you didn't. Yeah. Yeah. A week later, it says, oh, I just saw this. I have no you didn't.
Sorry, missed this. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. You don't miss anything.
No one misses anything.
People are so dialed into their phone. If they shoot you a note that says, just caught this, you have the right to punch them between the eyes.
Okay, I have a buddy that sends text messages in like three-word bursts.
And such chains, like a chain, like one after the other? Like,
yes.
Yeah, rapid fire text guy is
But I mean,
annoying.
Like, it's all one conversation. Hey, how's it? Send. Going. What do you send? Doing. It drives me
wild.
Is the guy
have Tourette's or
yeah,
what?
That's outrageous. That is crazy.
So, like, I'll look, it'll be like, you know, you pick up your phone, and you're like, 9 text messages? What the heck? I look, it's all from him.
Yeah, that is completely.
And so my protest is I don't respond right away.
Well, what I will say is, and I can speak, you've probably been in this position. Like, when you're on the air, I might check my phone in a break, and then I'll forget that someone sent me that. Like, I saw it, but I can't write you back. I'm working, and then maybe I'll respond because it'll dawn on me later on that night. Like, oh, I forgot to write that person back. And that is a reasonable, hey, I missed this, or sorry, I'm late getting back to you, or whatever. But generally speaking, it's completely bogus.
You know what you should be able to do on your phone? I think I'm going to somehow invent this. You know when you read an email, and you don't get time to respond to it, so you just mark it as unread again, and it stays up at the top of your inbox?
Yes.
Why can't you do that with your phone messages?
Great
read
call.
It and go, you know what, I got to respond. I don't have time right now. I could mark it back as unread.
I think that is brilliant, and I don't know what they're doing at Apple and, you know, Samsung and BlackBerry. Get with the times.
Dude,
you know,
I just
this idiot from Trail BC thinking of this.
Yes.
Why haven't they done it?
You're the new Steve Jobs. I think you deserve an award for that.
You know, when it comes up, like, the message is read, I just wish when you called somebody, it just said in small, tiny writing, is looking at this, but is not answering.
Could answer, but chose not to.
No, just the toilet says flushing. Flushing.
You're being flushed right now. And that's another thing. I don't understand how anyone leaves the, like, red option with their texting, because you're just telling someone, I saw that, and I'm just not writing you back.
I'm not interested.
I'm just not interested. Like, I read it. I got it.
I know. Who the hell signs up for that? No way.
You have to get that. I had a conversation with my sister months ago. I called her. I wrote her back. I'm like, what are you doing with the red option? Like, you've got to get that off. And she panicked. She didn't even think there was an option to get rid of it. So I felt like
so
I accomplished
stupid.
Something that day. Anyway, the Leafs. You know, whatever that game was last night, Ray, that was not much of a game. And we talked about that earlier. Before we get to the Nylander stuff and some other storylines, just, you know, is that a one-off for you? Is it about fans not being in the building? Is it about the condensed schedule? Because I have noticed, and last night was the most extreme example, just a couple of teams going up and down the ice. Like, I really, outside of the Nylander goal to tie it and then the winner, that gives me a reference point that I will remember for a long time. I couldn't think of one other thing that happened where a week from now I could reference it. Like, I really couldn't.
I think we're heading into the doldrums of the schedule here. Teams are gassed. Everybody's banged up. Even when the guys are in the lineup, they're playing every second day. There's no rest. There's no practice time. And I think we're going to end up with games like that that, you know, there are 40 guys skating around out there.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And the fact that the Leafs were wearing their pajamas as well made it even more sleepy. Who came up with those, by the way?
Well, I think they're great. I might be the only guy that likes them. I think they're great. I saw them in Edmonton for the... Are you talking about their jerseys?
Yes, they look
like
pajamas.
Like,
they should have footy things on them.
No. I guess I don't know.
I don't mind them. They looked darker to me last night. I don't know why. But, and maybe it's the lighting at Scotiabank. I do think they've changed the lighting at Scotiabank, just for the record. Not that it matters, but it did seem like those uniforms, they just were displayed a little bit differently last night. But anyway, you can imagine what the conversation is today in town. It's about Nylander, of course, and we've referenced this earlier as well, right? that this week both ends of the spectrum have had something to chew on Saturday night. If you're not his biggest fan, you said, see, look what happened in the third. Even Sheldon Keefe said he had to take a seat. If you are his biggest fan, you say, look what he did at the end of the game and specifically in overtime. And to me, it's somewhere in the middle. I think it's a very reasonable take to say it's somewhere in the middle. Huge talent, really good player, flawed at times, and when the big games happen, he's just got to be consistent in battle. And if he does that, he can be a real impact player.
I think for me, when I think of him, that's why the offensive numbers matter so much to me, is because I'm not expecting him to be a penalty killer, to be a strong defensive player. Owen and I kind of joke about it, but we're not looking for a 200-foot player here. We're looking for 60 feet or 80 feet. And so that's what I think of Nylander, of his game. I'm like, he needs to find a way to make an impact on that other side of the red line. And if he can do it more consistently, then I can look past some of the other stuff, for me anyway, because he's so skilled. Like the goal he scored last night, he made that look like butter, like it was nothing.
Unreal.
And when it happens, he does it with such ease, it makes you wonder, like, why doesn't that happen more often? And I think that's probably the back and forth with Nylander, is that he'll do something and just knock your socks off, and then there'll be other nights where he's just kind of wandering around.
Well, that's the question I have for you, Ray, is, how realistic is it then? If you're kind of asking for 60 feet out of him, you want to see stats, you want to see, spectacular plays a la the overtime goal. Sheldon Keefe after the game is saying, when he's asked about will he being misunderstood, is saying, well, you got to ask him. You got to put some of that on him because he's got to be more consistent. He's got to be more engaged without the puck. Things, a more, effective defensive player. Do you think what the Leafs are asking is almost unrealistic?
No, because I don't, maybe I didn't explain it, Dave, quite well enough, is I'm not thinking he should be blocking shots and killing penalties, like that defensive work. But when you don't have it, you got to get it. Like, the puck's just it's not just going to come to you. The game is so fast now. If you're not in it, you're really out of it. Like if you're not diving in for a loose puck, if you're not hunting a puck down on a forecheck, look at his speed. If he wants to be an effective forechecker, he doesn't have to hit anybody. He's just got to be in on the play. And that's in the 60 feet of the ice that I want. I just want him to be competent at the other side. I'm not at, I think what Sheldon Keefe is talking about is consistency of effort away from the puck. And that means when you don't have it, how do we get it back? Because let's face it, that's really the whole game, isn't it?
Yep.
We don't have it, we got to get it back. Who's helping us get it back? And I think he could do a better job of that. And what I don't quite understand is, if you do get it back, do you not see that's where your game blossoms? Like, that's when he's, of course, at his very best, is when he's got the puck. He can do things other people can't.
Yep. Yeah, he proved that last night. Exactly. With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. So the Habs are back in action tonight. First game without Julian. First game with Ducharme behind the bench. And Price will get the start, naturally. I think that's a smart play. I mean, they're trying to spark something here, and you need your guy in net. But history would suggest this could go any which way in terms of a team being inspired and teams of a team maybe feeling overwhelmed by the change and needing a little bit more time for it to sink in. So I think it's almost impossible to predict how they will respond. But are there players that you're focused on here in terms of how they're going to react? Is there a player or two in Montreal where you say, I want to see what this guy does now that Julian is out and a new coach is in?
Well, for me, right away, it's Phil Deneau. Mm-hmm. He's got no goals. He's got 2 goals in his last 51 games. He must be thinking, whether this is accurate or not, that he's got a complete new, fresh start. He's got a new guy running the bench. They've got Tatar back with him and Gallagher. I would think his minutes are probably going to climb a little bit. He's one of those guys I think would be excited to see how it's going to go. Tatar's another one. Tatar was healthy scratched. then back in the lineup, played one game back. The second game, he got benched with 8 minutes left. So I would think he's another one. I'm interested to see what those young centermen are going to do because they're so crucial to their team. Kotkaniemi in particular. Like, does Ducharme have a different plan, a different way to use them? You know, I see Corey Perry's going to be, bumped up the lineup a little bit here. They obviously think he can give them a little more juice. So those are the guys that I look at, that might get a fresh start. Look, Carey Price is playing a lot anyway. Ducharme will become a much better coach if Price stops the puck. Yeah. 893 is not going to get it done. He can be as good a coach as you want, but that's not going to get it done.
Well, that's the point I've tried to make, Ray, and I don't know, maybe we see it differently because we're not in Montreal. We don't watch that team as closely. But to me, is there a guy that gets more of a pass for being fairly mediocre, but having an incredible legacy of Olympic gold medals and a Hart Trophy and Vezinas, than Carey Price? Because to me, lately, his numbers just have not measured up to the reputation.
The last 3 years, his save percentage is .909. Like, it's not at the top of the league. It's barely average. You know, that it's hard to overcome that. We talk a lot about Freddie Anderson, of course, because we're watching the game so closely, and their save percentages, a lot of times, high danger save percentages, they're not that different. And, you know, and I think Price is a terrific goalie, I really do, but he hasn't played like that. Jake Allen has outplayed him by a mile this year.
And they brought him in there to make sure that Carey Price was well-rested. We better end this topic quickly, because Noodles is going to call in.
Yeah, Noodles won't be happy with the tone of this conversation.
No,
but
well, the thought is, and I can't imagine anyone would disagree with it. Is he's got to stop the puck more.
That's it.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Yeah,
and because you're paying him $10.5 million for the next, I think he's got 5 years left on his deal.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You know, like this is a pretty. A pretty important player with a real hefty deal on your cap.
Well, that is, I mean, you worry about that down the road, and that's on Bergevin and the management team, but that is a monster contract at 10.5 for another 5 after this. And if he's giving you this right now, it's not like he's just going to have some resurgence in 2 or 3 years, which I think makes it even more important for them to get something done now. Like, that would speak to the urgency that much more. Like, and I would add Shea Weber to that mix. Like, I don't think Weber's going to fall off a cliff, but he's not going to be better in 2 years. And he is locked in for, like, 6 or 7 years after this, I believe.
And see, that's where I, you know, if Ducharme can find a little offensive spark here for their team, to get them to play maybe a little bit more freely, a little bit more loosely, I think they're a pretty good team. I really do. I think they've underperformed. And they put themselves in a little bit of hot water. It's a good thing they had that start because they got some points in the bank.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd really be chasing, right?
Yeah, that was big. I guess the Tkachuk brothers are set to play, what is it, like 5 games in the next 10 days or something crazy like that. They're going to play a
That's
lot.
That's awesome.
It's so cool. And Matthew, I remember he had this conversation with us. We had him on a month or two ago, and he keeps hammering home. He's like, we're not going to fight. That's not going to happen.
That and means they're going to fight.
I haven't heard Brady say anything. All I could think of was the younger brother hasn't said a word. Like, and probably speaks to the fact that the older brother would prefer to avoid that door opening up. But I wouldn't put anything past these two. I wouldn't. Well, part of me kind of wants to see it happen.
Could you imagine what their basement must have looked like? There had to be holes all over the place in the wall with those guys.
From Keith.
My favorite thing that happened was those two guys getting in an argument on the bench. I was standing between the benches. And Matthew was giving it to Brady about a turnover. And they were, you know, Matthew was standing at the end of the Calgary bench and Brady was standing at the end of the Ottawa bench. And they were going back and forth. And at one point, it sounded like they were in the basement of their house. And Brady goes, why don't you just shut your mouth? And I thought like somebody was going to come down and ground them. It was awesome. Like, they were so mad at each other. And then I saw Keith after the game, and, you know, I said, hey, your boys were going at it pretty good. He's like, yeah. He goes, did Brady start that? And I said, no, it was Matthew, actually. And he was surprised. I think Brady's probably the one stirring the soup up a bit.
Well, speaking of grounding him, I don't know if you saw the piece, Ray, but you know, Brady and Matthew's mother, Chantel, was telling a reporter out in Calgary that she actually goes on Twitter regularly, types in the name Tkachuk into the search engine just to see what people are writing about her two boys, and is often appalled that sometimes it can be quite nasty. You've had a boy play in the NHL, and what do you make of that move?
Well, I wouldn't want to check.
No.
If I were Chantel, I would have a pretty good idea what was going to be typed most times, except what I would have done is typed in after their game against Montreal the other night and watch what people wrote about Brady. That guy was a boss. He owned the Canadians. He beat up Sherratt. He scored a couple of goals. Man, that put it this way, if they don't play for your team, there's nothing well or nothing nice written about them. But if they play for your team, I think your fans are pretty charged about it.
Oh, yeah. Fan favorites. Although, with that said, I think even Matthew accepted that he was taking some heat last week because people in Calgary were freaking out based on the way the team was playing. And, you know, I guess that is also a lesson that as beloved as you are, if the team goes south, like, kind of everyone gets hit with a little bit of shrapnel, right? Like, it's probably directed towards the other players first and the coaches and the ownership and management, but eventually everyone gets a little bit of scar tissue if the team loses a bunch of games.
Well, if you start losing like they were losing, you can complain and bark about the fourth line if you want, but you probably, if you're looking for a turnaround, you got to go to the best guys, and they're the ones that are going to take the most heat.
Yep, absolutely. Well, we'll see what happens tonight. There's going to be some fun games, and the Leafs are back in Edmonton. You know, starting Saturday night. So tomorrow we'll start teeing that up. It should be fun. We'll do it tomorrow at 5:05.
Have a good one, boys. Talk to you.
You got it. There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. If you're looking to lower your car payments, downsize your vehicle, or trade in two cars for one, visit MapleToyota.com or book an in-person appointment.